yeah, technically, yes. But this in here is the radio I had that I blew the dial down in over the power supply issue. I just got it back, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And one thing when it comes to stuff like that, WR4XM over here, he's a master at that. He's 3/4 of the time, he's the one that programs this thing for me. I can get frequencies in it somewhat by myself, but getting these tones is another story. He managed to get this in here programmed with it, 8900, and on my T98, he's got to make another adjustment because the tone squelch ain't working right on it, but other than that, he's in it. But as you heard a while ago, a lot of my radios I got are too old for it, so about all I can do is listen, and being that anytime any warnings come out over here in Pickens County, Mandel's 147.195 links into the warning system, which links into Billy Scott warning repeater. Like, if you'd been listening earlier tonight, you would heard me report into Tommy about some hail coming down here. What I done, I went through 147.195, I did, which is kind of like you said about others. When all these over here, just something about Pickens, Oconee County, any warnings, Mandel's 195 links into the warnings, which is also then links into Billy's up there. So with some of it, I have to do like that until I get everything right. On 8900 here is right, but my T98, he got a little bit more doings to do to it, so I went through 195 and reported it in that way. But when you're in a situation probably like you're in, where you can't get into any of the warning repeaters, and 195 either, you need that tone right in there, is all I can tell you. No, it's above my head, but somehow you got to get that tone right somehow or another. And like I heard Gary tell Patrick there 2 or 3 weeks ago, if nothing else, you can tune in the North Weather Station. And I've noticed with some of these raves, newer raves, even newer than this 8900 here, some of them even do the tones that the NOAA stations are send out, like that in the John GFU had there at the end. That, it would do 25 watts and 65 watts. I done forgot now what it was, but I read up on it some time back before he passed away. It's capable of receiving that and sending out, receiving the tone alerts and sending them out themselves.
This is something I never had to concern myself with before, so I could be way off the mark. But when you're saying it's a digital tone, logic, to me, it would logically be the DTMF tone. The same kind of tone that your telephone has. Currently, you know, to dial telephone numbers. Dun, 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 like that. You know, their tone, musical tone. Now, my radio will do that, and I could just have the right frequency, press the push to talk, and my microphone has buttons on it. So I can just press the 311 on the microphone. Next opportunity I have, I will check and see if that's true. That is digital tone. And, you know, the telephone has had digital tones for many years. That's just what my My senses tell me, you know, I could be wrong. KK4JBQ.
Poor hell's the guy working? Have Mandel Rigdon to straighten some of this out for me. I would be up a creek too, like with this 8900. I can get frequencies in here, it's a struggle. But as far as anything else, not so easy. Not so easy at all. He's got my 1802M right now. Bringing that up to speed, because it hadn't been updated in probably 10 or 12 years. And while he's got it, I think Datton's also capable of doing the digital tone. He'll do that, and I'll pick it up at our meeting over here first Tuesday of next month. But for the most part, he does the programming, and that's the only thing I can say, really, that if you got something that's too old, it won't do it. But if they're fairly new, they will, but as you say about the complexity of it. Everything built right now today is one heck of a something. Now, I could take an old, but there again, well, I'm talking about another radio that don't have any tone capability at all. A Clegg FM-28 that dates back to 1983 that I years ago found out at the Pigeon Flea Market. I did. It's frequency synthesized, but it dates back to 1983. There's no digital or analog tone capability at all. I can operate it real good, but there are very few repeaters that I can use it on other than maybe this.
Your tale. Now, this is exactly how I read this, and I didn't hear it first to person. I read it somewhere at some time. But it used to be that when the telephone company went over from a certain number of clicks to indicate what the number is that you're dialing, for instance, if the prefix on your telephone number is 864, you would put your finger in the dial. You know what I'm talking about. Put your finger in there and in the 8, and you pull it over to the finger stop, and then pull your finger out, and it would click on the way back around. And that's how the 8 was indicated on a dial phone. And the same for the other numbers. You could dial a number that way. Well, then I don't know when it was. Was it back somewhere back in the late 60s? They went to dial tones. So you had buttons on your phone. It was a big change. You were probably alive then. You remember that, put your finger in it, and, you know, bring it around to the finger stop and pull your finger out, and it tracked its way back. So the dial tones were musical tones. And there was a little time in there, a little bit, when people would spoof, if you're familiar with that word, spoof the telephone company. They'd go into a telephone booth, because they were going to be anonymous doing this, you know. They go into a telephone booth, and they pick up the phone, and they start, tut-tut-tut-tut-tut, and they had done this before with clicks, but they were musically inclined, so they could mimic the tones close enough that the phone would dial the number. And so information went around across people who were doing trash like this, and they got the phones to do things like making long-distance calls for free. They got the phones to do things that ordinarily they wouldn't do by knowing the right tones to send and the right increment between tones and such as that. Well, the reason I mentioned this is that if what I'm assuming is correct, you could simulate the dial tones, those DTMF tones, They make little handheld boxes that'll make those tones now. So you could just press the buttons, 3-1-1. Hold it up to the microphone so the microphone can hear it and transmit that across the airwaves. And that opens it up. So there you are. I'm making several assumptions there, but that is, if I'm correct, that is how that would work. If they are DTMF tones. The reason I'm saying that is probably how it works is this is how repeaters can be remotely controlled. If you want to change something, if you're, you know, managing a repeater, you want to change something and it has this feature, you can just use the push buttons on your radio. Mine's on the microphone. You can just use the push buttons and program the repeater to some extent. And it wouldn't be very difficult. I'm thinking that that's what we're talking about, the DTMF tones, to open the repeater. KK4, JBQ.
Well, see, yeah, I've seen Mandel do all kinds of things with the repeaters over here. It certainly is a possibility. I'm not saying it ain't. It very well could be. You know, I know why Billy done it. Since that Scott one's been up there, I've heard all the problems he's had up there on the other frequency pair. All kinds of interference, what right and left. You know, I've heard it. I understand why he's doing it, but cutting it down to such a narrow path of radio, so, you know, just say from about 0102 to current, you know, that's the only thing that worries me, you know. Like in this case here, I went through 195 here late this evening because I don't have the T98. Right now, he's got to do some more modifications. He don't have tones for it. It's just right. I went through the 195 on Glassy Mountain, which is linked to the ones and linked to Bill's, to turn in that weather report earlier about the hail coming down here. Not everybody may have an option like that, because Mandel's 195 is an analog tone.
Well, not sure what we're talking about, but I'll demonstrate, and I've got, if you've got a push button phone, and mine, you know, they're battery operated. I can take it off the stand and walk around the house with it, you know. But these things have been around a long time. And if you wanted to pick up one somewhere just for this purpose, you would have it. So here I've got the phone, battery operated, in my hand, and I'll open it up. Okay, you hear that? And then I'll dial 1. Those tones, that came from the telephone.
It may work. I'm not saying it is. The only thing I can tell you is one Tuesday, one Thursday, one Skype, one that taking place, try it and see. You could probably do it with your touch tone pad on your radio there. That's what I would suggest. You're probably, when it comes to this, more up to speed than I am. I know this stuff like it is, and until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I didn't realize that a lot of my gear was too old for it.
If I'm correct. KK4, JBQ.
Back one Tuesday and Thursday and see how it works. You'll know one way or another. I didn't know until a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks ago, that half of my gear was too old for it, so.
If your gear is too old for it, you just press the push-to-talk and hold the tone generator, whatever it is, could be the telephone, up to the microphone and press the number. In this case, 311. And if I'm correct, that'll open it up normally because you have sent the tone across. Uh, It could be entirely different, but this would be the easiest way to do this. Now, you probably remember that at some point in history, you could, if you were mobile, before people had the kind of phone service that's common today, you know, cell phones, before cell phones, you could open up a repeater and use its connection to the telephone service and make a short phone call. All the other FCC rules would apply because you are actually going over the air. You have to be licensed, you know, and you have to be, you have to know what you're doing. But you can make a phone call home, tell your wife that you're, you know, so many minutes out. You'll be home in, you know, 15 minutes. Traffic is a little slow today. And sure, that would, you know, your spouse might be appreciative to learn that you're a little late already, you know, that you're in bad traffic. People used to do that before we had cell phones that we carried around with us all the time. Well, so if I'm right and it's using DTMF, there would be a way to simulate that. The convenience of letting the radio do it is, you know, it's just a convenience. Every time you press the push to talk and you're dialed into that frequency, into Billy's frequency, for instance, it would generate that tone. And it is a tone that you can hear. It's audible. The frequencies that opens up repeaters that, you know, that have an offset, not an offset, but that are open with a squelch, they use inaudible tones. And that's why the tone, there's a whole list of those, of course, that's why they'll work sort of in the background. You're not even aware of it. But a DTMF, you would hear it. KK4KBQ.
KI4LZI, yeah, I remember some of our solid key comrades from the Greenville area being on here talking about it and actually hearing some of the auto patches taking place on the 8-2 repeater and W4 Alpha Zulu Tango. He's been dead since probably the late 80s. He had a repeater down there near his place down there that back at that time was on the 14670. It's been reallocated twice since that time, that 70 pair, but he had an auto patch on his, too. And it seems like I remember somebody else around in this area having one. There was three at one time, and in the end, one on 8-2 was the last one, and you hear what Dave Watts and some of the others say, it's still there, but it's pretty much not used no more.
Of course, it's... Now, if you... if the battery went dead in your phone, you're not going to find the phone booth anywhere. I don't know. There used to be, you know, millions of phone booths. There were phone booths inside of retail stores. There were phone booths on every corner of streets in a city. No more of that, because people have them in their pockets. Oh, but they have batteries, right? And people get, you know, careless sometimes, perhaps, and find themselves without any battery power. And even if they have a, you know, a charger with them, for instance, and that charger requires plugging it into AC to charge up the phone, so that requires being near an outlet to give it a short charge and make a quick phone call in an emergency, for instance. So we don't have a backup, do we? If we're carrying a cell phone and we have a, you know, for whatever reason, we have a dead battery or a dead phone, you know, And people would just, you know, that's the kind of folks that humans are today. They just go absolutely bonkers without their phone. Me, I never put that noose around my neck, and it is, you know, sort of like that. I'll go days without touching my phone. But for a lot of people, it's the last thing they check at night, that they haven't had any calls or, you know, check their messages or check their email or, you know, something. Last thing they do at night and the first thing they touch in the morning. I don't want anything to have that kind of control over me. Nothing. It doesn't have the right if I don't give it to it. But most people are just, you know, freely give that right away. To be autonomous, to be myself, to be whatever I want to be in the moment and not be controlled by, you know, a device of some kind. Most people don't look at it that way, I understand. But it's just a thing with me. I didn't grow up with a phone in my pocket. I grew up with a phone that was on a cradle phone, you know, with one of those dials you put your finger in. And there was only one in the house. It was in a hallway, directly across from the bathroom. And what I would do to call my girlfriend back when I, you know, was having little, you know, puppy love type of girlfriends, I would take that phone off the wall and stretch it across the floor, get into the bathroom, close the door. Because I wanted a little privacy, right? Talking to my girlfriend. Well, that worked until Mama tripped over the cord. Walking down the hall, she didn't expect the phone cord to be drawn across the floor there. So she tripped over the phone cord, and I didn't hear the end of that for a while. KK4, JPQ.
4LZI, we're kind of seeing, or my mother, and we're expecting all of us, but that's the reason why they went and got new phones that'll work here. Well, my old ancient cell phone won't work here. For years, decades and decades, well, I told you before, I may have, I don't remember, we had an old landline phone up here ever since 1982 until just 3 or 4 weeks ago. Well, due to the way the infrastructure is up here and the old landline setup up here, it's all tore all the pieces and whatnot, from where mowers cut into it and all kinds of different things. Well, over the past 3 or 4 months, we've stayed on their can, AT&T, trying to get them to fix it. We could make calls out on it, but we can't receive them alive. And I kept telling my mother here, they're not going to fix that. There's so few people on these old landlines today that it's not worth fixing. And I think my mother finally got it into her head 3 or 4 weeks ago that we're not going to ever get that back working right. So my mother and my sister went and got them, seeing that they seen that these flip phones, like we started out with, and I still got, won't work here in this location. They went and got them more expensive cell phones, and now those will work here.
Okay. How about that? Well, yes, it just struck me, always a few weeks back, I was going through I frankly lose things often, and so I have to go all over the house. I've got 12 toolboxes. If it's a tool I'm looking for, I've got 12 toolboxes on 3 floors to look through. If I don't know exactly where I put it when I last knew where it was. So, anyway, I was going through every drawer in the house, and I come upon this telephone. It's a push-button telephone. But it connects, the wire coming out of the phone, connects to an RJ-11, which is a small RJ-45. It It's arranged the same way. It's got that little clip, you know. There's, I don't know how many wires are in the cord, maybe four, maybe eight, I don't know. I think four on a telephone of this vintage. So all of the outlets, when we moved in here, turn of the century, okay, 2000, the house was pre-wired for telephones, or wired telephones, that is, because, again, we didn't have telephones you carried around in your pocket. So I looked at that phone and I thought, we don't have telephone wiring in the house that works anymore. No. The telephone comes through the house over the internet. You know, they're internet telephones. And it's not connected to the house wiring anymore at all. So the reason for keeping that in the drawer, I was just going through this in my mind, the reason to keep it in the drawer is that for some far-fetched reason, all of the phones quit working, or the internet went down, you know. It used to be that if the internet went down, you could still use a telephone, because it was wires on telephone poles, but not anymore. Those outlets in the home all over, one or two in every room in the house, it was pre-wired, you know. Built in 99, and we occupied about that same year. But they're useless. It was disconnected. So, the internet goes down, we got no telephone. That way. So none of the phones in the house will work. But I'm talking on something, you know, the radio will always work. How about that? KK4JBQ.
Poor Elsie, yeah. I remember a lot of that when I was growing up, the rotary phone. And my grandmother had a rotary phone that was leased from the telephone company, and it was a party line. Kind of like what they say in the manual here about repeaters. Everybody around that can hear the output frequency here can hear everything we're saying. That was also considered a party line.
Oh, boy. They were kind of fun, you know, in a way. I remember, I guess, when I was still living with my folks, we just moved in. I was 9 years old. It was back in the early 50s. And we got a telephone. There was some discussion about whether we should, but we did. Got a telephone. And Dad wanted to be as conservative as he could be, you know. How much is it going to cost? Oh, that's too much. How much if we shared the telephone line with other people? A party line, for instance. And so he was told, oh, that works just fine. It was like $1.50 a month, you know, something like that. But there were four other people, five in total, sharing that line. And, that just makes for all kinds of fun for a kid, you know. You pick up the phone to make a phone call and somebody's already down there talking, you know. Well, you can, now, these shenanigans are impossible anymore, so I don't mind telling it if a child is listening. So, what I would do, again, remember that telephone that was, I could stretch across the hall? I did that several times. One time that I did that, I picked up the phone to make a phone call. Not a long-distance phone call, by the way, because parents would not, they wouldn't hold with that at all. No long-distance call. And that was, you know, in the next county. But no mention of the next, you know, Canada or Mexico or, you know, Puerto Rico or whatever, here in this hemisphere. No long distance call. So anyway, I picked up to call a friend in the neighborhood, right? So, and somebody was talking. Now this had happened before, and I was a little bit distressed about that. So I stretched the phone cord across the hall, and I closed the bathroom door, and I sat down in the floor there, and there was a cradle phone, so I just snuck my finger up and pressed the button that would keep the phone hung up. But then I picked up the receiver. Now I'm doing this with two hands. I'm doing three things with two hands. So I've got the little button pressed down, and I take the microphone capsule out of the phone. So the phone don't have a microphone. Now I can let the receiver button up. And I can just sit there and listen to all the jibber jabber of the party line people. It was great fun. KK4JPQ.
4LZI. Well, up until my mother finally gets this, during some of the times when we have a lot of heavy rain or a lot of lightning, down the road from here at Pumpkin Town was a bad place for lightning. A lot bad place for it, and it would sometimes up here knock us up here out. Well, believe it or not, even though this here wasn't as new as it was to back then, it wasn't a party line, there was times when we could hear other people on this phone here in the background from somewhere else. And the only thing I could ever figure out what was causing that junction box down there at Pumpkin Town, somehow something wasn't going awry down there, because most of the time it was always down there where problems was always coming about. But if you look at the roads around over here in this part of Pickens County, you see why whoever remains still on landlines, why they're the way they are, because the infrastructure between being tore up for one reason or another, and it's not worth fixing back for no more people's on it, like I told her, and why that was going on.
Well, you ever hear the expression, you got your wires crossed? Well, we understand, because we know a little bit about antennas and the wiring that's involved. The antenna wire, also the coax or whatever, the ladder line maybe. You don't want to cross your wires, because bad things can happen. With a telephone, for instance, if you cross the wires, just lay them one up against the other or one crossing the other in a certain angle, they will induce a current in the wire, even though it's an insulated wire. They will induce a current. You know, there's about 90, well, there used to be, on those phones. There was a current always available on the phone. How do I know this? I've stuck my finger into phones, not expecting it to bite me. And when the first time when it happened, oh, it just startled me more than hurt me. But then I put a meter on it. I was old enough to have a meter and I knew how to work it. I must have been 14 or something like that. So I put a meter on it. It was 90 volts. It got me. So anyway, it induces the voltage in other adjacent wires. If you don't protect against that, hold it at a, I don't know what distance would keep it from doing that. If you have to lay wires close together, if they have to run parallel, or if they have to run perpendicular in order to do that nonsense, you could get line, like you were saying, and then you pick up your phone, you're not on the party line, but you hear somebody else talking. That may have happened. I can't recall. Nothing really stands out, but I can see that might happen. Well, all of that is passe. Now, all that's gone. Modern life has brought us into a world with different problems. I kind of like the old problems myself. I honestly like listening in on... When I took the microphone element out of the phone, I couldn't be heard, you know, so I could pick up the phone, put it back down. That's being nosy. When I was a kid, I didn't care. But that's being nosy and bad manners on top of all that. My parents never found out. I'm only telling you because that was 60 years ago. KK4JBQ.
Poor LZ, I actually was doing one of these episodes here about this. Heard it myself in there even. Heard someone in the background and I got a multitester book here about diagnosing some of those old type things. Of course, it's not out 10,000 miles from the house here. And they make the claim in it that the old type phone line is supposed to run about 40 volts. They was claiming in there that, and it was running 90, really was something else. But they was giving the impression in this book that 40 volts is generally the voltage most of the time.
That's what I recall. It is a memory that's decades and decades and decades ago. I could be wrong. Could be 40 volts. But it bit me like it was 90. Maybe that's how I remember that number. But you see, Andy, the thing is, I didn't know there was voltage in the phone. Always there. Well, otherwise, how does it work? You know, I didn't understand how a phone worked. I didn't understand anything. Like I said, I was 9 years old. And when I was 9 years old, I didn't understand much of anything, truly, you know. I grew up in the sticks, back in the hills of Tennessee. I'm a real hillbilly. And I knew I had to grow up and grow out of that, and I was able to do it. First in my family to go to college and graduate. And that took some doing because, you know, but I fought for it. I wanted to get ignorant all my life. I knew I had been ignorant much of my young life. And that was fine because you've heard the expression, ignorant bliss. It means that if you don't know something's going on, then it ain't going to hurt you. You know? And the more you know, I don't mean physically hurt you. I mean hurt your feelings or, you know, can't really understand it, how other people are thinking and such as that. Well, the more and more you know about the world, the more disturbed you can become. So just a natural fact. So a little bit of ignorance is a good thing. Some people would disagree. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI. To be honest, I'm surprised that they talked about that in that book I bought here 5 or 6 years ago. And the multi-test book, that they even talked about that. You know, even then, I would have thought by then it was kind of dated, but prior to then, I didn't realize what the voltage was on that kind of system until I read that. And it says it's supposed to be 40 volts. So prior to that, I had no clue.
I still think it was more than that. I was shocked. I mean, yes, I got shocked. But I was dumbfounded to learn that there was voltage inside the phone. Well, 2 or 3 years later, I made that work for me. Because one of the things that voltage did was when you had an incoming phone call, there was an actual physical ringer in the phone. It wasn't electronic. It was a bell with a clapper. Ding, 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 you know. And electricity is what made that work. So, I don't know where I got it. I really don't remember where I got this phone, but the case of the phone was red. It was a red phone. Well, whoop-de-doo. I found a small light bulb. I think it was, you know, regular 120-volt lamp with a nice red lens. You know, one of those crystal, what is it called, a jewel type of lens. It had facets on them, you know. And I connected it to the ringer. I was just going to sap off some of that electricity to light my light when the phone rang. And sure enough, it worked. The phone would ring, ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding, and the red light would come on. I had a real red telephone, just like the president. Oh, I pulled some stuff like that when I was a kid. Had it in my room for a long time. It was the fanciest thing in my room for a long time. KK4JBQ.
4LZI. Now, this here's just a sprung up out of my head. Fear not that it's practical, but I sprung up out of my head trying to tell the rest of my family here about why you can't always find people on the radio at the right time. I kept telling them here, family here, that if some of our gear was kind of set up like that, where it would say like that, it's on with DMR, where you have to have that certain number to know that it's you in order to have it turned on. And you had a ringer like that, or some kind like that, you know, this is all fiction, but maybe at some point in time, say like on 70 centimeters, 2 meters, or especially if you're on VHF, UHF, that maybe something like that could come about here.
I don't know. I just don't know. I do know that people schedule regular times to make contact over the radio. There's even an abbreviation. They call it a SCED. They just don't spell the whole word, don't use all the letters to, you know, they just stop spelling the word at some point. And rather than schedule, they call it a SCED. And it's people that use CW primarily will arrange a time to make contact with somebody. If they know that they're, you know, 10 meters is working, and at 3:15 I'll give you a call, and we'll have a little CW practice, for instance, you know. So along about that time, you get your radio all set up, and you throw out a CQ for somebody on the frequency that you agreed to at the time that you have agreed to, and it's a scheduled contact. Well, all that's well and good, and that's how some people do it if it's their intent to talk with a certain person. But I always thought that some of the magic of having a radio is that you don't need, if you want to talk to somebody, you may not know who it is. And that's part of the surprise, you know. You don't know who it's going to be. You just throw out a CQ. That's what you mean. And anybody can come back. And if it's HF, anybody can come back just about anywhere. They could be in, you know, in Vatican City, for that matter. They could be in, you know, South America someplace, depending on how good your radio is and how much wattage you're pushing. And that is a thrill to do that. And you get to, I mean, it only takes once to talk with somebody that you would never know existed. And they didn't know you existed either. They just had their radio on and they had their ears on. and they heard somebody calling CQ. So let's have a conversation, he thought. So we strike up a conversation, and we strike up an over-the-air relationship. And it's no different than you and I had before I met you. I didn't know who I was talking to. That eyeball QSO came later, as you know, and we've been over that, and how it forever changes the picture in your mind. You always have a picture in your mind of people you talk to and you haven't met them yet, what they look like and all that. Well, how many times does that have to occur for you to realize that they're never going to look like the picture in your mind? And so I've given up even thinking about that, you know, what they look like. If you meet them, you meet them. And if you don't, you can still keep talking to them and you can be friends, you know. People who've never had anything to do with amateur radio, they just don't know the thrill that it can be. I'm just proud to be here. KK4, JBQ.
Well, that was just a wild idea I come up on a moment of spur. I don't even know that it would be workable, but, you know, I have to tell these others in the family here, well, I can't get him on the radio right now, so I'll try to call him, but I can't call him right now, like right now, being that there's no landline anymore, and my cell phone won't work here. That's really true now, because my other two here went and spent $800 to get two phones that'll work here. I wish the heck the others would have worked here, but they didn't amplify enough, so they wouldn't work here. So they spent $800 to get some that will, and they'll work here, but that's an awful big price, and my sister just told me that's cheap, but but yeah, she just said that a good phone is $1,400 to $1,500. My only problem is it's 11 o'clock and I got to go take insulin, but you see why what I've been kind of dealing with when it comes to this about the phone business. JK4JBQ, KI4LZI, might we pick this up at a later time. I got to go take some insulin, though.
I'm with you, Andy. And, well, I don't know. We have several families in our lives, don't we? We have our original family. And then if we get married, at least if it's just that, that's another family, and you leave your original family. I wouldn't know what it'd be like to live with my sister. She's gone now, bless her heart. But she was cantankerous. I wouldn't know what it'd be like, and I feel for you. You go on, take your medicine, and have yourself a good night's rest. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, Andy, and we'll do it again. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.